Midwest Paratalk Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
And hi, everybody. It's Midwest Paratalk, and I'm Joni. And I have with me Mike.
Hello, how's everyone tonight?
And our other co-host / producer, Greg. Can Greg speak?
Howdy.
Greg can speak a little. Greg's taking it easy tonight. He's a little drug addled from surgery. So.
Drugged out.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much talking he's going to get tonight. So.
No. Well, you know, I'm.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Here we go.
You'll have to explain it.
I am feeling better, but I really have to try to enunciate my F's and my S's.
Your
husband. Well, you
know. Oh, that's funny. Okay. Well, I know. I know you've been through an ordeal, so we won't give you a hard time.
Yay.
So anyway.
Man, I tell you what, I'll be glad when this crap is over. One more tooth on the top and four more on the bottom, and then I'm done. So, but you
yes,
know.
And I don't you got you have a show is that you and Chris tomorrow night you're going to do Hard Rock at 10 or something?
Yeah, tomorrow night on Studio B, Chris Baker and I will be jumping on here and doing a little bit of classic rock and roll show at 10 p.m. Eastern time. So I'm not going to do a whole lot of talking then, but we'll have to her and I will have to get together and get a playlist and all that squared away. And
oh, you won't have to talk with Chris.
Right, I know, right? That's the bonus of it. So.
Anyway, what's new down there, Michael? Anything?
Rain.
That's it? Yeah, it's here too.
Yep. Rain.
Yeah. Have you heard any more about getting the prison in May or so?
Yes. I talked to, what's his name?
Jerry,
Bucky,
or whatever
that was running.
Yeah.
They call him Bucky. And he said that I just need to call him a couple weeks ahead of time and let him know, and we should be able to have it all night. So.
That'd be nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the Moundsville Penitentiary.
Yes.
You guys? Okay.
When is that? And I need your.
That's what we're trying to work on.
We're trying to figure it out, and I have a camper, Greg, so you guys can stay in the camper if you come down.
Oh, right on.
Oh, he's got a camper like a freaking house.
Sweet.
I might even camp in that thing.
Yeah,
that's how nice it is.
Do we have like, bonfire out front and cook weenies and marshmallows and stuff?
That's what they do at Jamboree in the Hills all week. That's what they got it for, I think.
Right on.
Well, yeah, kind of. It's got a big slide out and bunk beds. It sleeps 12 and with a shower and satellite and surround sound and air and all that. So.
Holy crap, that's not roughing it. That's like going on vacation.
That's what I said. I'd even stay in that maybe.
Yep.
Because I don't like camp. But anyway, this Mike, you know Julie.
Yeah.
Okay. This friend of mine, Greg, her brother lives in Columbus, and she didn't say what church it was, but it's not maybe a progressive church. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, she told me yesterday that he called her from Columbus, and he said, "You won't believe what happened." They have a school that they run, too. Must be adjacent to the church, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
A regular, like, school, private school. And I guess the kindergarten, they were having kindergarten class, and all of a sudden, this man with books in his arm walked across the room and went through the wall.
With what in his arm?
Yeah, he was carrying books.
Okay, and walked through the wall?
Walked through the room from nowhere and went through the wall in front of these kindergarten kids.
What?
Yeah, and everybody was like losing it. Of course, these little kids. You know, I don't know. The little kids would be losing it any more, less than the adults probably. But
holy
anyway, I can't even believe this. Her brother said that a bunch of the church people got together and went over, and they couldn't get in the school because it was locked and nobody was allowed in there after hours.
Mm-hmm.
But they stood outside the school and I forget how you put that, purge of a demon.
What?
I swear to God. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, I swear to God. So I told her, I said, Julie believes, because she's got one in her house, I think, and she never told them about it because she knew how they'd be, probably, but
right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they immediately decided it was a demon, and they had to do something about it, apparently.
Dude, that's nuts.
Yeah, I said, find out some more about that, because that's just really interesting.
Holy moly.
Mm-hmm.
That would be kind of cool, though, you know, sitting in kindergartner, you're sitting in class, and be like, ho, ho, do-do-do. Then all of a sudden, pow,
right.
Bang, hey, look at that guy, he's walking through the wall. Right on.
It's a ghost, yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think the kids would have had that much trouble with it.
Wow. That's kind of cool that the people...
Yeah, in 2010, okay.
Right, the grown folks...
I can't believe it, I just can't believe it.
Yeah, the grown people are having a problem with it, and the kids are like, hey, that's freaking cool.
Mm-hmm.
We had an interesting thing in the hospital today. We have a critical care unit. It's close to my office. And, of course, it's like for open heart surgeries and things like that or whatever. And this lady came out of the hall, and she's screaming, he's not ready to go. He's not ready to go. You know, and of course, it was her husband, and she was an older lady. And she said, he told me he's not ready to go. And this man's been in a coma for... the last 2 weeks because he had open heart surgery and never come out of anesthesia.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the doctor was telling her, you know, I'm sorry, ma'am, you know, can you go up to the waiting room while we prep and all blah, blah, blah. They called a code to the CVICU. And when they called the code, he came out of his coma.
Wow.
Did they call it on him?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, well, write that one down.
Yeah, that, isn't that weird? Cause she,
yeah, that's weird.
She was adamant that he had told her he was not ready to go, and he was apparently he was gone, and then all of a sudden they called a code in here.
They called a code. His heart had stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I mean, that's the only reason you do it.
He came
out
of him, and when I left, they were taking him off the ventilator.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've seen, you know, there's been some wild stuff happening in hospitals. Stuff like that, you know, we think people just absolutely had no chance whatsoever. And then on the other hand, you have the ones you think are going to walk out the next day. So, you know, you never know.
I'll tell you something weird. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Since I've been on these pink fuzzies.
Pink fuzzies.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, I should have told you we should have did drugs or...
should have been drinking a little bit. Yeah. I've been hearing voices in my house, and what's really surprising. I mean, no. Seriously,
I know.
It's a little girl.
See, I already knew this, but Mike hasn't heard this, but I'm just kind of reading Mike's mind right now.
It's a little girl's voice, and you can hear. It sounds like they're playing. I mean, let me tell you what. It was so vivid for me. That I stood up because I thought, man, is there a little girl come in the back door? When I got up, all three dogs are looking down the hall.
Yeah, I thought about that. Can I offer you a theory on that?
Sure.
I think because you're ADHD and your mind's always going a million miles a minute, that maybe when you take that medication, it kind of slows it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a new house. You guys haven't been there that long. So this may have been going on a little bit and you didn't notice it because you're always so hyper.
Right.
And maybe now that's why you notice it because, you know, this is a new home. You don't know what it's going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's true. Maybe it slowed you down and you could hear her. Or
well,
not
yeah,
hear her,
I mean,
but you, whatever it was,
it,
you
it
know.
It was audibly. I mean, it was like disembodied. Okay, it wasn't like...
You need to sell it to a recorder, maybe.
Yeah, I might need to set one up. But I mean, but to go and coincide with that, my daughter this weekend was freaked out in her bedroom because she said she saw shadows.
Huh.
Okay, so I don't know. I'm gonna have to dig around a little bit while nobody else is here.
That's not the first weekend they've been there, is it?
No.
No, they were there for Christmas or something, weren't they?
Yeah. They every other week since we moved in here, they've been here, plus Christmas.
Oh, but that house, didn't that house, this that's house, a house they built on a site that burned, a house built burned down or something,
right,
wasn't it?
This house burned down in 01 when the guy bought it and they rebuilt. So I'm wondering if he's not telling me something about the establishment.
Huh.
Either way,
well,
I mean,
that could be interesting.
I'm going to dig around and see what I can find. I might talk a little bit more with Serenity as well. And so, you know. But, yeah.
Okie dokie.
Well, you know, let us know how that turns out.
Right.
Huh?
Right. I will definitely keep everyone abreast.
Yeah, definitely. You have to go to the library.
Right. So you guys want to go with a commercial, come back with, or not commercial, come back with a song, and then come back with Haunted History?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
As long as it's The Cure.
The Cure? Well,
Mike.
I was kind of given the you better play this.
Next week.
Right, right. I was given this request by Joni, and Joni wanted to hear this one. So here we go. Here's a little Radiohead with Creep, and we'll be right back with Haunted History on Midwest Parrot Talk Radio. So you guys stick around.
I don't belong here.
You're listening to Midwest Paratalk Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
That's right. We are back with Midwest Paratalk Radio. And Joni has a haunted history that she's going to fire off for us.
Yeah, I do. This is, you guys in Ohio know about the Moonville Tunnel. This is a history on the Moonville area, actually. Vinton County in Ohio is probably the least populated in the whole state. It is full of empty fields of grass, deep forests, and caves. Along with the neighboring county of Hawking, it also boasts several areas that draw many ghost hunters and thrill seekers. Hawking County is a beautiful state park full of hiking trails and its share of caves. Old Man's Cave has the ghostly legend of Richard Rowe. Mr. Rowe was a hermit that lived in the Old Man's Cave in the early 1800s with only his hunting hound dogs for company. In fact, he lived there most of his life and died nearby. Legend has it that one cold winter, he descended from his cave to the stream in the gorge to get water. But when he got there, he realized he had forgotten his pick to break the ice. So he used his muzzleloader and apparently touched the trigger and shot himself in the face. On nights with full moon, people say you can hear his dogs howling. Hawking Hills also contains Ash Cave. It is the most visited cave in the park, known for its natural beauty and cascading waterfall. Many hikers rave about its hemlock-lined trail and scenery. An area visited by Native Americans for centuries, some strange experiences have been reported. There is a distinct feeling of being watched. A frequent occurrence is the appearance of a shadow apparition of a woman in 1820s-era attire. But by far, the most famous legend of Ash Cave are the mysterious lights. Greenish-yellow in color, many have witnessed them darting about and dancing in the trees. Maybe spirits lights, but they also could be flying squirrels that have come in contact with foxfire, a phosphorescent fungi found in the area, so say the park rangers. The Lake Hope State Park nearby contains the tiny town of Hope, with its residents long gone. The only thing left besides the rundown cemetery is the Hope Furnace, the main employer of the town at that time. The Hope Furnace is said to be guarded by the ghost of a watchman who accidentally fell into it 150 years ago. Witnesses claim to see an orange lantern on top of the furnace at night, and it moves through the area where the buildings once stood. Back in neighboring Vinton County stands a paranormally infamous Moonville Tunnel, even though the railroad tracks had been gone for years. Moonville was a small town like nearby Hope. It was built in 1859 when the Marietta and Cincinnati Railroad was established. Most residents worked in an iron ore mill mining and at the Hope Furnace, and later in coal mines. It had a sawmill on Raccoon Creek, a general store, and a saloon, and its largest population was 100 people in the 1870s. The coal fired the furnaces to make weapons and artillery for the Civil War. A small cemetery exists on top of the hill to the west of this ghost town. The ghost of the Moonville Tunnel has been claimed to be everything from an engineer to a signalman. The cause of the accident includes anything from drunkenness to murder. The actual newspaper article from March 31, 1859 states that a brakeman fell from the train and was fatally injured when the wheels totally destroyed his leg. He made it to a nearby hospital for amputation but did die, and alcohol was involved. The ghost of Moonville Tunnel has been reported ever since, a swinging light that walks through the tunnel with no one carrying it. A newspaper article from 1895 contained an account of the ghost from the freight train's crew. It states that the train stopped after seeing him standing on the track ahead. He was attired in a pure white robe, had a flowing white beard, and eyes that glistened like balls of fire, and he was surrounded by a halo of twinkling stars. And, of course, he was holding his lantern. When the train stopped, he stepped from the tracks and disappeared. Other reported Moonville deaths were a young man killed in a mine explosion, another ran over while waiting for the train, and then there's a lavender lady, so-called because of the scent she exudes. They say that she was killed on a trestle on her way to meet her lover. However, it is most likely she is a Mrs. Shea who lost her leg on the trestle and died during surgical amputation. She was a grandmother in her 80s. Many investigations have been done in the areas. Data has been acquired, especially some very eerie images on camera. These can be viewed by going to www.forgottenohio.com and www.hauntedhawking.com. Hello.
Very cool. I'm here. It just takes me a while.
Did everybody fall asleep? Or?
No, I was just, you know, kind of watching the pretty colors.
Oh, yeah, I can't. Talking about Jell-O.
Oh, man, Jell-O is good.
Okay.
I know, right? What do we say we get Jeff Walmsley on the line?
Yeah, give Jeff a call.
We are inviting him to the conversation. You guys are listening to Midwest Paratalk Radio here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hello?
Jeff?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Joni, and you're on Midwest Paratalk Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing tonight?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Can you guys hear? Yes.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, I have my co-host here, Greg and Mike. They're also on with us tonight. So.
How you doing,
right.
Jeff?
How you doing?
Been better.
How are you?
I'm on, yeah. Okay.
Good.
Greg had surgery. He's a little bit of a painkiller.
Oh.
It should be just fine. Your wife's a nurse, isn't she? You know, you probably understand this stuff.
Yeah, I hear about it all the time.
Yeah. So anyway, for our listeners that don't know who you are, or I can't believe anybody would not know anything about Mothman, could you please explain your museum and what you guys do and why you do it?
Uh-huh. Well, the museum's been around for, let's see, my phone is cutting out here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
For some reason, every time I've been doing these interviews, let me grab my other phone real quick, okay?
Okay.
Let's see. Maybe I can just sit still here in this line. Yeah, it might be the men in black mess with my phone. Okay.
Yeah, they do that.
I'll just sit still. I think it's the cord on the old phone. Mm-hmm. We've had the museum for about 4 years, and in the museum we have a lot of the movie props, you know, from the motion picture, you know, the Mothman Prophecies with Richard Gere.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of movie props, and then we have a lot of archives, press clippings, actual newspaper reports. We have some actual police reports from way back, you know, in the mid, you know, 66, you know, when all this took place in Point Pleasant. We have a lot of, you know, documentaries, and have a media room and things like that. So it's, for somebody who's not real familiar with, you know, the Mothman legacy or whatever, it's kind of a research center / museum. You know, you can come in and sit down and look through a lot of the archives and things like that. So it's a place, you know, to do some research and things like that. So let me grab my other phone, hold on just a second.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to trash this phone after tonight. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So, and what about, and you do tours? Bus tours?
Yeah, we do bus tours. We started the bus tours about a year back. Actually, they started during the festival. And we do guided bus tours up to the TNT area. And, you know, that's where a lot of your Mothman sightings took place. And kind of retrace the route of the witnesses. We go into some of the open igloos up there in the TNT area, and you know, kind of show people around, things like that. And about a 75-minute tour is what it is. But we in the winter time, when the weather's really bad and stuff, you know, we kind of slack off a little bit on the tour schedule and stuff. But in the summertime, we run quite a few of them.
Mhm. Yeah, I was. You know, Warren Coleman, I'm sure, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have his book, Mothman and Other Curious Encounters.
Right.
And I got it out there and was reading up on that again. That's a really good book, by the way. It's got all kinds of things, and thunderbirds and lizard men and
a
lot of them around Ohio.
Yeah,
really good.
He has a museum too, I think, a cryptozoology type museum up in Maine.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but he covers the whole gamut. I just stick with Mothman. You know, that's really the only thing that, you know, that we go with and stuff. But
right. So anyway, I was reading the book, and he said when he wrote that book, or no, it was Mr. Keel. I believe it was Mr. Keel went down there and did interviews.
Yeah, John Keel. You know, of course, you know, he came to Point Pleasant in 66 when all this was going on. And came and investigated it and sat down with those witnesses and talked to them. And then And then back in 1975, that's when the Mothman Prophecies book came out. So it took him 7 or 8 years to kind of compile that information. And, and then, of course, that book spawned. But, and of course, you know, John Keel passed away this past summer.
Yeah.
But he did come back to Point Pleasant for a couple of the festivals and things like that. So, you know, but he's kind of like the, I guess you could call like the grandfather of the Mothman story. You know, his book was the one that kind of set the bar for all the other books and stuff that came out. But
Mr. Keel, you mean?
Yeah, John Keel.
Yeah, because I think that's what the movie was based on, that one.
It was loosely based on his book. I mean, you know, it kind of followed the guidelines, but the movie was more based in modern day times rather than in the mid 60s, you know, when a lot of this took place. But nevertheless, I mean, it did open up the doors quite a bit to people being curious about what all the, you know, the Mothman stuff was about and everything.
Yeah, and he said that he actually interviewed hundreds of people for that book, because I don't think people realize how many he actually did talk to.
Yeah,
and he had so many stories. And
there's a lot of people that saw it.
Yeah, and they said the sightings went back to at least 1961.
Yeah, there were some documented sightings back that far. Now, those weren't all really in Point Pleasant. They were kind of in and around the tri-state area. I think there was some, in Clinton in West Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia, and places like that. But, Keel always thought that these sightings were going on, you know, way before people in Point Pleasant were seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? I mean, you know, clear back to Native American Indians, you know, with these Thunderbird sightings and stuff like that. So they thought there might have been a connection with what people were seeing in Point Pleasant.
Yeah. So does any, I don't know, there's probably not any recent sightings.
I get emails constantly, you know, not necessarily from here in the Point Pleasant area, but I get them from all over the world. Now, whether or not those are related to what people are seeing here, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, we have a guest book on the website, and plus I get a lot of emails from people and stuff. So, I think people are still out looking for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But not necessarily here in this area. I mean, it's pretty much all over the world. New Mexico, I've got emails from over in Serbia, Croatia, places like that, you know. And they read about the Mothman, if they see something like that resembles that or whatever, there, you know, maybe a connection there somehow. But who knows? I mean, but I get a lot of emails, yeah.
Yeah. I know at least one sighting was coincided with a UFO sighting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you mean here in Point Pleasant?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff in the mid-60s, there was actually a lot more UFO sightings than there were Mothman sightings, but there were people that thought that there was a connection. You know, the entire tri-state area, you know, was just overrun with UFO activity back then. And, people were thinking that, you know, that it was kind of strange that people were seeing this gigantic, you know, creature or bird or whatever it was, you know, and then a lot of the UFOs and stuff. But, that was real common. You know, Keel, even when he came here, he actually saw a lot of these UFO sightings, too. He never really seen any Mothman activity. You know, he was always, you know, a few minutes late or whatever, somebody, you know, got a hold of him and they went to see it. But, he talked about the UFOs quite a bit in his book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike, you have any questions?
Nothing yet. My question about the sightings recently.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, tell me your, you know, personal connection to Gallup Police.
To Gallup Police?
Yeah, our family actually lived in Gallup Police for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I was very, very, very young.
Oh, okay. Now I think you said something about you were here the summer after the bridge fell or something, or
yeah.
Or was that you?
That was our family, yeah.
Okay.
Father.
Well, I'm actually, you know, I grew up in Point Pleasant, but my wife's from here in Gallipolis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then when we got married, you know, we just moved over here and stuff. But I take that back. I was born in Gallipolis there at Hozier Hospital. And, mm-hmm. but, you know, we just about everybody lived in Point Pleasant with the Hozier Hospital anyway. So, where did you all live at in Gallipolis?
From what I...
He was a baby. He's my brother,
okay.
By the way.
Okay.
It was for a summer. There was a road that went through down there. It was an interstate or something.
Yeah, Route 35.
This is probably late 60s, early 70s. And that's my dad was down there working on that, and my uncle.
Oh.
And
that's right.
We stayed in town. We stayed in Gallipolis.
Oh, okay.
Gallipolis.
Okay.
In a Winnebago or one of those big silver round trailer.
Oh, yes.
But my uncle rented a house, and it stood right beside the bridge. And the bridge had come down that previous winter. And we used to look at it all the time, but we didn't know what happened because we were kids.
I think that house is still there, if it's the same one I'm thinking about.
Yeah, I don't remember the house. I just had a big living room. It had a big living room, I remember that. And then the back opened out, and you were right by the bridge.
Really? Yeah, it took them a few years to get all that stuff cleaned up. I mean, you know, it didn't.
Yeah, it was something.
It wasn't like right after the bridge fell, they were right out there and cleaned it all up. It took them a while, and you know, they had to piece everything back together too and stuff.
Oh, it was something else. We probably have pictures somewhere, but I noticed back then because we would walk where we lived in town. We'd walk over to the next block, and there was like a little mom pop grocery store.
Yeah.
And get food and stuff with my mom and. I just remember everybody was really quiet, and they just—it's like they didn't like us. It was like, "Who are you?" You know, kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and even experienced that out. Yeah, there was just something with them. But like I say, I didn't know about we didn't know about the bridge at that time.
Yeah, that's strange. I mean, you know, it's.
Well, I figure now it was maybe just trauma, or you know.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are just kind of in a state of shock there, you know, with all that going on and stuff, too. But,
yeah, because there's a lot of people that died. I was reading that list last night, and I'm like, wow. I didn't realize.
People. And
from there and across the river, so.
Yeah, and there was a lot of people on that bridge that were from out of town, a lot like truck drivers and stuff like that, too.
Yeah, I saw, like, Virginia and North Carolina and, you know, places like that.
I see a lot of people ask me too, and when I do interviews, there was a Walmsley. There were actually two Walmsleys on the bridge. One of them died, and then one of them survived it. But I'm not related to them, so you know, some people think that you know that I got into the writing the books and all that kind of stuff because of, you know, being related to them. But it is kind of ironic that there were actually two Walmsleys, you know, that were on the bridge when it fell. But
mm-hmm.
I'm not related directly to them, you know. Maybe very distantly and stuff. But I barely remember it. I remember hearing it fall. You know, we lived up at the other end of Point Pleasant when that happened. But
mm-hmm.
I was about 6 years old, I think, when that happened. But I remember hearing it, and it just sounded like a sonic boom, you know, going off and everything. But we have a lot of home movies and. A lot of archives on the bridge at the museum too, you know, because it's kind of tied in with that Mothman stuff, you know. It all happened right about the same time, and some people thought that there may have been a connection with that bridge collapse and all the UFO and the Mothman sightings and stuff. But
mm-hmm.
and then there's a lot of people that don't think there was any connection at all.
I don't know. What do you think?
The technical reason that bridge fell was that the eye bolt, you know, snapped under pressure. I've interviewed a lot of those people and stuff, and most of them, well, not all of them, but most of them really didn't think there was a big connection. I just think that bridge was 40 years old, and it wasn't kept up to par, you know, with all the bridge regulations that you've got today. And like you said, that was a direct bridge to the Route 35. It was a lot of semi trucks and stuff on that bridge a lot,
mm-hmm.
and I think that didn't help. You had a traffic light at each end on each side of the bridge.
And
I mean, people were saying, well, you know, the traffic lights were stuck and all this and that, but That happened right there about a week before Christmas. You know, it was a lot of traffic and just bad timing all around, you know.
Yep.
Bad now, then, are there any survivors, or not survivors, are there any people that sighted the Mothman still alive and living down there?
Oh, yeah.
Or did
they
all move away? Or?
No, there's still a lot of them here in Point Pleasant. There's still some of them that won't talk about it, you know. You know, you've got Linda Scarberry. She still lives in Point Pleasant. She was one of the ones in the car that first night, the two young couples in the car. He's her ex-husband now, Roger, he lives in Tennessee. He won't talk about it. And then the other couple that was in the car with them, they actually still live in Point Pleasant. They're still married 45 years later after going through all that. But they refuse interviews and stuff. They won't talk about it. They'll admit that they saw it. You know, they'll say we saw it, we know what we saw, but we don't want to really go into any interviews or detail or anything about it. But there's been two or three people just in the past year that's passed away. Marcella Bennett, she saw that pretty close. Bob Bosworth, both of those people I interviewed in my second book, and then George Johnson was the sheriff at the time. He wouldn't do any interviews or anything either. I don't know if he ever saw it, but, you know, he was around when all that was going on. He just passed away. So you have to figure that many years ago, it was 45 years ago almost, and, you know, if these people were in their 30s or 40s, you know, now they would be in their 70s or 80s and stuff, you know. So some of them have passed away, and you know, it's getting harder and harder to find people from those original sightings, you know, that still – you know, want to talk about it and everything. They're pretty hush-hush on it.
So did the introduction of that movie back in 2002, did that, like, spark interest, like a new generation of interest down there?
Yeah. And, you know, there's all kinds of documentaries. We just finished doing Monster Quest there back in October, and that'll be on. That's supposed to air on February 3rd, and it'll just all start all over again.
Yeah.
You know, we can always see a spike, especially there at the museum, you know, after they air those documentaries and TV shows and stuff. Of course, when the movie came out, that was, what, 8 years ago, I think 2002?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was just total madness. I mean, at that time, I had a record store there on Main Street there in Point Pleasant, and our first book had came out, Facts Behind the Legend, and for probably at least a month or two, I mean, that phone just constantly rang. We had news crews coming in there. You know, people just wanted to talk to somebody about, you know, this Mothman thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was a worldwide phenomenon, and it really hasn't really lost a lot of steam. I mean, it's still, you know, that movie's still in reruns and stuff. You turn the TV on, and you end up seeing it on TV a lot. But I think that Monster Quest episode will really it'll pique some attention too, I think.
Yeah, I like Monster Quest as a show anyway.
Yeah. I think it'll turn out pretty cool. I haven't seen it yet, but they were here for about 2 weeks, and of course they always take both sides of the story. You know, they'll do the skeptical view, and then they'll do the eyewitness accounts and stuff. So it should be pretty interesting.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what makes a good show, though.
Do you have a lot of skeptics that come to see your museum?
There's probably a lot more believers than skeptics. You know, I mean, some people come in for the novelty of it. You know, they just kind of curious and they'll chuckle a little bit about it and stuff. But you get a lot of hardcore believers that come in too. You know what I mean? They're serious about it and stuff, and we don't really take a stance either way. I mean, you know, we're not there to convince anybody of anything. That's why we've got all that stuff in there, so they can come in and decide for themselves. You know, sort of like Fox News.
Right.
You know, we report, you decide. But there's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
But you know, you get your share of people coming in, and you know. You know, just kind of thinking, you know, what the heck is this, you know. But and then sometimes they'll leave thinking, you know, hey, you know, this is pretty scary stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you have the Mothman Festival, right?
Yeah, we do the festival every September, the third weekend in September. And I think this year it'll be the 18th and 19th of September. Have you guys ever been to the festival?
No, I've never made it down there.
Okay, all right. We're drawing 4,000 to 5,000 people at that festival now, and we have a lot of guest speakers come in, authors, writers, all kinds of stuff, a lot of exhibits and vendors and all that kind of stuff. Lauren Coleman was supposed to come one year, and something came up the last minute, he couldn't come, but it's pretty cool event. It's kind of a nice place to network and meet other people, with the same interests and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's turned into a real successful event, and it's in September, so it's not too hot, but it's not too cold. You know what I mean? It's right when the leaves are starting to turn and stuff. So
yeah, that's a nice time of year here.
Yeah.
We used to go to band camp at Gallipolis.
Really?
At the college.
Briar Grand College, yeah.
Briar Grand, yeah. Yep. And
yeah.
I think it took us about 3 hours to get there from here.
Now, where did
so
you
whatever
go?
That would be.
Where
did I go
live?
To school?
Yeah.
I live in Barnesville. I went to school at a school called Union Local. It's next town over.
Barnesville?
But I live in Barnesville now. Yeah.
My
Pumpkin Festival, Barnesville.
Yeah, we went to that one.
Your
she
sister?
They live in Barnesville. My sister lived up there for a while. She doesn't live there now.
Oh, wow, that's wild.
Yeah, they live in Barnesville, and then I remember coming up there and going to St. Clairsville, and
we went
to the Pumpkin Festival and ate that pumpkin ice cream and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's our big draw here is the Pumpkin
Festival.
Yeah, I
know. There was a lot of people there and stuff. And they lived up there for, maybe a couple years and stuff, but, yeah. We used to drive up there. We always liked it and everything. But I went to band camp out there, Rye Grand College too, and I hated it.
Did you?
It
was hot. Yeah, I agree.
And
they
was no
made
shade.
You on the
there
field.
No
they're like they wouldn't let you off either. People
I
passed
know.
Out, and you still had to march.
Yeah, we.
Oh, the good old days.
That was my first year. Now my sophomore year, we went there, but then after that, we went to Ripley, West Virginia, to Cedar Lakes.
Okay.
But they still have band camps out there at Rye Grand at the college. They still do it.
Yeah, we had a good time.
I graduated from that college out there. So.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, many years ago.
it's a small world.
Yeah, Barnesville. I have to tell my sister that. I've never been interviewed by anybody from Barnesville, so I'll tell
her. Well, you
have now. Yeah.
I remember Gallipolis. I remember my dad took us through that insane asylum. At one time?
Down here in Gallipolis or over in Point Pleasant?
We were on the Gallipolis, I think. Yeah, I was a kid, but I remember you could drive through it. He drove us around through there.
That's GDC,
Yeah, it was...
Yeah, it's still there.
People talking to themselves, and it's still there.
Yeah,
and going,
that's like a state-run hospital there.
Yeah, it's like a castle or something. And
that's it.
Yep. And the park, I remember, that overlooks the river. I thought it was beautiful down there. I really liked it.
The park's still there, the Doughboy statue and all that stuff. But, like I said, I'm from Point Pleasant. My wife's from over here, but, we've lived over here for quite a while. Point Pleasant, my mom still lives over there and everything, and I'm over there. I teach graphic design over there during the day, so I'm over there every day anyway. So.
Oh, cool.
But I like Point Pleasant, and it's a nice little town.
Yeah, and I was reading, it wasn't this book, but another book about all that stuff that happened and the cornstalk curse. And do people still talk about that or think about it?
Yeah. Do they? I talked to somebody about that the other day. I mean, that's, Point Pleasant's a really rich in Native American history. I mean, you have Twin Dewey Park over there. You have Fort Randolph, all that stuff. The first battle of the Revolutionary War over there at the point where the Kanawha River meets the Ohio River. Cornstalk's Curse. I mean, people bring up the Silver Bridge collapse and some of the other stuff that's happened there, and they think, that may have been that 200-year curse at Cornstalk.
Yeah, because there was. There was, like, train wrecks and plant explosions and plane crashes and, geez.
Well, the jail
all kinds
explosion.
Of stuff.
I don't know if you remember the jail explosion or not. That was in 76.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, I remember reading about that. Something to do with the sheriff, his wife or something maybe, or...
No, what it was is the sheriff got killed, but there was a young couple that they put the mother in jail because they claimed they had killed her infant baby.
Okay.
And her husband came to and forced his way in the jail. He had a suitcase of dynamite in it.
Yeah, okay.
He detonated that and pretty much, you know, obliterated them too and killed the sheriff and one of the deputies and the dispatcher, I think. It was like five people that died. And, of course, they never found... The couple, I mean, he detonated it right there in the jail cell. But that, that happened in 76. And then, we had a train derailment where the water supply got contaminated. And that was in 78, I think, the winter of 77, 78. I just remember being out of school for like a month, because of that. People think that maybe that was part of that Cornstalk curse. You know, it's debatable. Uh-huh. I mean, some people don't, and just like with the Mothman stuff.
Yeah, it's just one of those things we don't know. We really don't know. We just have opinions, and
That's
a lot of stuff we don't know.
But it's interesting, to talk about and kind of research it and everything. But jail explosion. I do remember that.
A lot of activity down in that area.
Yeah, John Keel always said that Point Pleasant was a window. It was a window to all this paranormal activity and stuff like that,
a window that they came through,
with this Mothman stuff and all this UFO and the Men in Black and all that kind of stuff. There was so much stuff going on, and, I was lucky enough to be able to, to talk to him quite a bit there, in the years before he passed away and everything. And I think even to the day he died, he was still kind of looking over his shoulder. He's a little paranoid.
Yeah, that'd be kind of creepy. Why were the Men in Black there?
Well, these Men in Black started showing up after the UFO and the Mothman sightings were being reported. And they were trying to, get people just to stop talking about it and stuff. And some of those original witnesses, were approached by him, and a few of them were threatened by him and things. And I think Keel even had a few run-ins with them and stuff, too. But nobody even, really knew who they were.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know if they were government or military people or what. But they didn't fit in too much in Point Pleasant.
They said they looked real strange.
Yeah, the way they dressed and the way they looked, they stuck out really like a sore thumb and I think people noticed it and stuff, but it's hard to get people to really talk about that. I mean, the ones that do remember it, they don't really want to, talk too much about it and stuff. But that's a hard area to really crack with that.
And it goes back to the atmosphere down there. When we were down there that summer, it was strange. And at the time, I didn't really think about it. I just thought, boy, it's different down here. But now, being older and knowing more, I'm kind of like, they were in shock and they were afraid. They seemed to be afraid.
It was a bad time. And there again, people in Gap-Liss, just like Point Pleasant, a lot of people from Gap-Liss, just like Point, that were on that bridge, and families and relatives and all that kind of stuff, So it was, bad timing, but that's been a while back. It's like I said, it's hard to find people that still remember clearly about a lot of that stuff,
Mm-hmm.
But
they just need to come to your museum because you've got all that stuff in there.
Yeah,
you were on a show, and I don't remember what show it was. It's been a while ago.
Yeah.
And they were showing this, that's a really cool statue, and of the Mothman, and they talked to you and they're in your store, and they were showing some of the stuff you had in there. Clipping
in paranormal state. They were there.
It was.
Yeah, a lot of them did come in. I think this Monster Quest thing, I talked to the producer the other day, and she said that they did have a clip of the museum. Because when they come in to film, a lot of times they want to film some of the archives and the historical stuff too, you know, for the story. And we just let them come in and set up and do whatever they have to do. You know, you just don't find that kind of stuff laying around anywhere anymore. You know, those old newspapers.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really a piece of history and everything. So I think that's why a lot of people, you know, are interested in it. You know, they come in and see the real thing. You know, hopefully it'll help them a little bit in their research and stuff.
So, go on, Lim here. What's your theory of the Mothman?
Personal theory?
My theory, you know, I get asked that a lot. You know, I'm still kind of trying to figure out, you know, what these people were saying myself. I think it's probably an open book. I don't know if it'll ever really be solved. I know they saw something up there that really that scared them. I mean, you know, you had over 100 reported sightings within about a year and a half. And I figured there were probably another 100 or 200 unreported sightings because people were afraid to go to the police or the authorities, you know, being made fun of and embarrassed and everything like that. So, there had to have been something to it. If it would have just been two or three people or four people reporting all that, I'd be skeptical myself. But I think they saw something up there that scared them bad enough to you know, have them come to the police and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe them. Because, you know, we're all investigators on here. Mike and I, of course, are in Egypt Valley.
Uh-huh.
We have Egypt Valley Paranormal. And Greg's in Indiana, he has, in MRIPA, and Paranormal Group. And we have seen so many things.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of them can capture the evidence. It just makes you crazy sometimes. And I pretty much believe about anything anybody says anymore. I can say that at least I listen to it, and I do not say that can't happen.
Right, right.
Because of everything we've seen and experienced, we've know a lot of things happen that you can't explain.
Yeah, I know. Until you have solid proof, but I mean,
But you know what? I don't think we ever will, because I don't think we're supposed to know some things.
That's probably true. Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. I mean, it's we got a T-shirt there in the museum that's got a quote from John Keel on the back, and he talks about in that one documentary, it's like, you know, it says, you know, we don't exist the way we think we exist, or the world doesn't exist the way we think it exists, or something. You know, it's kind of a neat
mm-hmm.
quote. But that's basically what he was saying too. You know.
Oh,
you don't,
man, I would
really
have loved to have met him,
yeah.
Or even Lauren. But you know, and you too. But I can't imagine actually meeting John Keel, because that many questions.
You know, and I think he got really there, kind of jaded a little bit, and kind of burnt out there in his later years.
I expect
about
he did.
And stuff, you know, because he just got tired of being badgered all the time and people asking questions. And you know, he would call me here at home once in a while just to talk about normal stuff, you know.
No, but
you know, the weather and
yeah, I believe it.
He lived in New York and lived by himself and stuff, you know. So we just sat there and, you know, talk about stuff that really had nothing to do with Mothman. But
it's very,
it was interesting, you know. I was glad that I had a chance to talk with him and stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, thanks for talking to us. I'm so glad we got to hook up here finally.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you called and everything. And I'm glad to know you're from Barnesville.
Yay, me.
Yeah,
that's just kind of weird.
Usually
people move out of Barnesville. They don't move to Barnesville.
I'm over there now.
Yeah, you were there too, Mike. Mike left. Listen, when you... Oh, I'm sorry. You still talking?
No, I'm just going to talk about the website or...
Oh, okay, go ahead. Sure.
If he has a website or anything, or a web store, anything he wants to, like, provide there.
Yeah, you can go to mothmanlives.com, and then we have mothmanmuseum.com and mothmanfestival.com, all three of those. But you can get merchandise and stuff off mothmanlives.com.
I want a T-shirt. And listen, Jeff, maybe this fall after the festival, you can come back on and tell us how it went. And
okay.
Anything
yeah,
else?
Just send me an email or whatever. We'll hook up, and I'll let you know how everything went.
Perfect.
Well,
not a problem.
Actually, try to get down there this year, maybe.
Yeah, if you can, you know, just stop by the museum. It doesn't have to be during the festival, but, you know, just any time. Just let me know.
Yeah, we always go to Virginia Beach that weekend. That's the same weekend as the Pumpkin Festival we leave.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's how much we like the Pumpkin Festival. But, you know, we live too close to it, you know. But, yeah, I would love to come down there and go through the museum this summer sometime.
Well, we'd love to have
you. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, I'll let you
know. Let me know when you're coming so I can make sure I'm there.
Yeah, perfect, okay. All right, well, thanks again. And it was great, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks. Have a good night.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Bye. Night.
All right, that was
Mr.
Jeff Walmsley talking about Mothman and some of the stuff that's going on there. And, yeah. You know,
Let me get a drink.
Yeah.
Let me get a drink.
Right now, everybody knows that, you know, I had some mouth surgery and I'm on pink fuzzies and they make me a little bit emotional and I'm going to pull up a soapbox. And I'm sure I'm going to be made fun of. Oh, he was all slurring and, you know, he ain't going to teeth, blah, blah, blah. All right. You know, quit hating. So.
Right.
Basically what I'm going to bitch about right now is something that really, really bothers me. And. That was funny, Crystal.
It bothered Crystal a lot, too.
Yeah, Crystal was talking to me about some stuff that there was a paranormal group that did an investigation on a television show not too long ago. It was a television show, wasn't it?
Friday night, it was on the Animal Planet, and it's
haunted.
Called Haunted Houses, or Haunted Something.
Haunted.
Haunted.
Or maybe just Haunted, I don't know.
Pets and spirits. And this investigation group told these people that they just need to leave. That the demonic presence in their house was that intense that they just needed to leave. You can't know. There's nothing we can do for you. You got to leave. Now, I want to know what the hell kind of investigator, even if they call themselves an investigator, would go into a house and tell somebody, you know what, I can't do anything for you, that you just got to pack up your shit and leave because, you know, you're in danger. Okay, the reason that most of the people, I mean, there's basically two reasons that people get into the paranormal. One is because they've had experiences themselves, and they know what's going on. And then you get to a point in your paranormal career where, and I said career, I mean, it's a hobby, but still, you know.
It's not a hobby. If you're in this seriously, this is not a hobby. This is a lifestyle, and that's
right.
What I tell people. It's
exactly.
A lifestyle.
Exactly. And, you know, you get to a point where, you know, okay, I know what I've been through, and I've seen this. Now, we're going to go out and try to help people that are having problems, you know, let them know that they're not crazy. See what we can do if it is to the level of this demonic haunt. Getting people into the house that is, you know, that are qualified to take care of issues like this. She sunk all of her money, all of her life savings, everything she had into getting this house to have some paranormal investigator tell her, well, shit, you got to move. Okay.
Right.
And so she, what did she do? She packed her shit up and moved. Let the house go back to the bank.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
You know, and I've not watched it either, and I'm probably leaping before, you know, I'm researching a little bit more. But, I mean, the basic gist of it is, I don't care how bad it is, you call somebody that is qualified to take care of this issue. You bring somebody in, if your team is not qualified to take care of this type of haunt, you get a hold of somebody. I don't care who it is, because you know what? John Zaffis is on everybody's MySpace.
Well, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he puts
with the internet, there's no excuse to not have a contact.
You know?
You know, from what I heard on another show the other night, briefly, this guy is backpedaling, and he's saying it was editing, and... they didn't actually come right out and say, they told her to get out. They didn't actually say that. And there had been two ministers in there before that supposedly had blessed it. So I think he's trying to do some damage control.
Well, okay. even that being said, but then, you know, I would publicly come out, even on my MySpace, on my social networks, on something, and say, okay, here's the real story. This is what got edited. You know, I would be on the radio show saying, hey, look, you know, this isn't really how it went down. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I would explain myself, but from what I've heard...
Oh, well, definitely.
You know, it's, you need to move, and she moved. So, I mean, why...
Well, I'm kind of thinking that's probably true, anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying he's trying to, you know, soft-pedal a little bit, I think.
Why?
You know,
I mean...
But everybody's going, you what? You told her to move? You know, everybody's
right.
Like, what?
And you know what? It's something else that kind of, is kind of grating my ass. And
oh, no, you said the A word.
I said ass. Okay, everybody cover their ears. I'll say ass again.
Well, at least it wasn't the F word.
You better
go
ask
ahead.
Somebody, you friggin' asses. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I mean...
It's on one tonight. Look out, people.
Something that really bothers me as well is, yes. You know, claims of individuals that, you know, that have a knowledge of paranormal investigating that have never been on an investigation. Okay? You know, that kind of burns my ass, too, because, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't have knowledge about it, because, I mean, I know a couple of individuals personally that are very knowledgeable about it and have done their research and, you know, have intelligent conversations about the paranormal, but they still have not yet to be on a paranormal investigation. Now, I can't see how anybody that has never been in that situation can have an opinion on the investigation. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't...
Yeah, I totally agree.
You know, I mean, well, my opinion is your picture is dust. Well, okay, how many investigations have you been on? Oh, none? Okay.
It doesn't matter because
now,
I watch Ghost Hunters.
Right, okay. Now, a perfect example. You know, everybody says, you know, orbs are dust and orbs are this. I saw visibly with my eyes, no camera... No flashlights, nothing, in the basement of Prospect Place. I saw...
Yes, you did.
...the red orb.
I have seen two. It was my eyes, one in the middle of the friggin' afternoon.
Right. I mean,
and
it was...
And I know you saw the blue one. I remember that.
It was red in the basement, and it was about 9 foot up in the air, traveled up the wall to that first right-hand corridor, and shot right up, and it was gone. And when I saw it, D was saying, okay, I'm done. Are you done? And I'm up looking down this hall because that's where I saw it go. So the thing is that really, really bothers me is, you know, everyone has their opinion, and I understand that because they're like assholes. Everyone's got one, okay? But you know what? Sometimes you need to stop and think before you speak about something that you have no idea of what goes on, because it's easy to look at somebody else's picture and go, you know, that's crap. But you know what? You weren't there when the picture was taken. You don't know if the wind was coming out of the
and
north,
the south,
the east,
or west. And it cannot be recreated no matter how you try. You cannot recreate,
you know,
those kind of environments ever, 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 ever.
So,
but don't go into this recreating crap because it don't work.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, EVPs, well, I don't hear what you're hearing. Well, open your ears. Let me enhance it. You know, and the perfect thing, and I'm going to tell everybody right now, everybody that's starting out in the paranormal field, and I know I my mouth is slurring, I'm getting a little edgy here, but I can listen to an EVP. Joni can listen to an EVP. Mike can listen to an EVP. All three of us will come up with something different off of that EVP. I can guarantee it.
Right, and then I may hear something that you don't.
Exactly.
Somewhere in the
and you know what? There's a scientific basis for that, because everybody hears tones differently.
Right, exactly.
And everybody has their little ear canal shaped differently.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, yes, you can hear something that somebody else can't hear. They can hear something you can't hear.
Right.
I mean, that is a neurological conclusion.
Exactly. And you know, and I think that men can hear different frequencies from women, of course. But, mm-hmm. I mean, when you're starting off, even for the experienced, I mean, slow it down, speed it up, run it backwards, you know, play with it, manipulate it. If it's not a steady, clear, and I don't like to classify EVPs.
Right.
But if it's not steady, clear, where you can hear straight off the bat without putting on the headphones, play with it a little bit. Try to enhance it. I mean, don't put in shit that somebody else, you know what I'm saying? Don't try to...
BS word.
Powders. Well, okay. It's late night. It's 11. It's 11:08 in the morning, or at night.
That's right.
So,
that's,
I mean,
right,
don't put
God.
Anything... Don't taint your stuff. But I'm telling you, man, play around with it and get a feel for the EVPs, you know? Right. But it just really honks my butt, man.
But back to that again, that's what you learn from experience.
Right, exactly.
From doing investigations.
Like Crystal said, I mean, Crystal sent over an EVP yesterday, and I slowed it down and enhanced it, and I heard something in a voice going, Crystal. Now, Serenity and Crystal heard something totally different. They heard music and someone saying a full sentence, and all I heard was Crystal's name.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, and it goes back to show, too. Maybe there's certain, you know... The frequencies are embedded on each other from the EVP that one person will hear and one person will hear. But I mean, yeah, like Serenity had heard the whole sentence, and you know, I kind of have to go with her because you know she's Serenity. But I mean,
well, that's like that one we got from the barn. Mike heard, Brenda heard, pull. I think somebody heard Paul. I wasn't sure of either one, but I definitely heard somebody gasping for breath.
Right.
And I've heard you heard something different.
Yeah.
But we definitely, and it's not that, it's a pretty good EVP. It's pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But we all have a different opinion of what that is.
Right. Right. But, you know, and going back to what I was saying, I mean, kind of off on all kinds of tangents, but, you know, if you've never been on an investigation, be very careful how you put your opinion out for everyone else to hear. You know, because sometimes you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And, I mean, perfect example. I mean, I could be totally off kilter with what I've gotten from this story with this people telling this lady to move. And I should probably research it a little bit. But from what I know now, I figure, what the hell, I'm going to go out and say what I have to say. You know, I mean, and if
well,
anybody...
it's like you said, even if that wasn't the case, and that's not what they said, even if... I would be certainly be making that known to people that that wasn't what we said.
Right, exactly.
And that didn't happen, you know.
Exactly, you know.
Well, I think a lot of times that people are, you know, the paranormal right now is a hot commodity.
Mm-hmm.
So people are thinking they're going to become famous because they have an opinion.
Right.
And, you know, people that, like us, that go out and go in the dirty places and sit in the dusty holes and... sitting in the freezing cold or in the swelling heat or whatever, and actually are trying to find, you know, evidence of a paranormal, we have an opinion because we've been there. We've been in the trenches, and there's other people that have a picture or a story or something that happened to them, like when they were kids, and that's all they've ever done, and all of a sudden they want to become the next ghost hunters.
Right.
And I think a lot of the time the ghost hunters kind of blur the lines between what's real and what's not real because, you know, that's what they're on television for.
Mm-hmm.
They want they have to make it exciting. Because, I mean, how many times have we went somewhere and found nothing?
Right.
We spent hours.
Many.
And done nothing, and we have nothing to prove that we're
and
there.
And wasted film and wasted batteries, and
We had a good time doing it,
mm-hmm.
but we found nothing.
Right.
And who wants to watch a show when they find nothing, you know?
Right.
There's going to be some sort of climax somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and I just think the whole fame thing is starting to blur a lot of the legitimate people, you know, and eventually people are just going to get tired of hearing it all together, you know, and then that's when we'll accept.
Well, that's what's going to happen anyway. We just got to ride it out because these shows are going to they can only do so much. They're going to drop out of existence, most of them, and the ones that are truly committed and doing their thing are still going to be here.
Right. And just like
that's when you're going to separate who's really legitimate and who's not.
Right. And just like Crystal said that, let us say they can't say that it didn't happen because the damn girl said it with her own mouth.
I'm just playing devil's advocate because this is a discussion.
Right. She heard everyone, and everyone who watched it heard her. Editing out doesn't put words in your mouth. And, you know, I have to go with Crystal on this. I mean, if she said the girl said it.
Oh, I go with Crystal.
You know what I'm saying?
I believe that's what happened.
I just think, you know, sometimes...
Because
like
you're on
Mike
television
said,
a paranormal group, and you can't do anything
right.
And get rid of it. So you're going to have to do something.
Right.
So that was your solution.
I think a lot of it is, you know, oh, I'm going to get on TV. I'm going to be famous. Or I'm going to, you know, do internet radio. I'm going to be famous.
Exactly.
You know, that shit don't work
like
that.
We're going to be famous on the internet radio.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, if it works out for you, that's wonderful. That's great. You know, good for you. I'm happy for you.
But
in reality,
don't blame the criticism on jealousy, because that's not what it is.
Exactly.
It's pride.
Exactly.
It's pride in the real investigators.
Exactly. You know, and there are some heavy-hitting, dedicated investigators.
Little tiny groups out there that nobody's ever heard of, and they're
personal,
working their asses off.
Personal friends, you know, of mine.
I said asses, Crystal.
Asses.
So. Crystal's rated Raven in the chat room. Oh, that's funny.
No, she was rant and raved a week over this. Well, you
that's
know, it is. I mean, you know, it's a hot topic. I mean, being a paranormal investigator, if you run into something like that, what is the first rule that every group, and I don't care who you are, every group has this standard rule when you first start. If you go, excuse me, pink fuzzies. If you go in to a house and you find that there is a demonic presence or is there a negative energy, you pull out, you find somebody that can take care of the issue right then.
Yeah, there's always somebody to call. Like,
you
say,
know?
With the advent of the internet, and like you say, John Zaffis, it's on everybody's MySpace page or Facebook page. There's no reason
number.
That you can't get a hold of somebody that can deal with that.
Right.
And
know?
He's not the only one, you know?
Right, exactly. You know, I've got 3, 4, 5 of them just on my Skype.
And if they can't, at least they'll point you in the right direction.
Exactly. You can find the help. If you are out there trying to help this family, even on a TV show. I mean, if you go into a house and you can't figure it out, even if you are on a TV show, well, you know what? We had to call in Zaffis, or we had to call in, you know, Lorraine.
Well, what
or,
if,
you know,
now people that don't know and they see that and they do have a problem, they're not going to call you because they're afraid you're going to tell them they have to move.
Right, right. You know, I mean, I don't know, man, because, you know, if I had that problem, I would be damn sure to be calling somebody, you know.
Right.
If my group, when I was running, leading up my group, if we ran into that, I mean, like I said, I mean, I had, you have resources set into place prior to going into any investigation of a residential, knowing that there's a possibility that, you know, after your interview with the client, you determined that maybe this is might be a little, you know, a dark entity.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, you go in with a game plan. You don't go in and say, you know, you need to pack your shit up and move because, you know,
we said so.
Homie don't play that. We got to go. You know? So,
yeah,
I mean, that's my rant and rave. It just kind of makes me mad. You know, you guys go out with good intentions, but you can't follow up. And that is what bothers me.
Right. Well, you know, if a person does have, you know, if they are already fearful of living in their house, you have someone who's coming in that's on a television show, and they're going to take what you say.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be objective to it at all. They're going to be like, oh, my Lord, you know, they're telling me to leave.
Right.
So I have to leave. And that's just, you know, first of all.
And they're already afraid, yep.
Yeah, who can afford to leave their house? They would have to blast me out of my house, because I have no mortgage. They could be falling in around me, and I'd be like, well, you know what, kiss my butt, because I still have to live here.
Right.
Do the demon drop.
Yeah.
And I want to put this out. I want to put this out as well. You know, if you got, send all hate mail to Crystal at nkyps.com. And you know what, you can send any comments and you know, criticisms or anything. Steph at MidwestParaTalkRadio.com, I'll answer you. You know, I'll put a rebuttal out there. We can discuss it. You know, I'll bring you on the show. And we can talk about it. You know what I'm saying? If you feel, seriously, if somebody feels that, you know, charged up about what we've said tonight.
That could be a good show topic one of these days.
You know, I mean, if you feel, you know, feel froggy leap. You know, yeah, so honestly, that's the way I look at it. I mean, because I think it's personally on my level, I think it's wrong. You know, you go in to help people. When you get, you know, even on a television show, when you get to that level, you're going in to help people. Well,
right.
Some of us would be like that. Obviously, others are going in because I'm on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, yeah, now, remember, Crystal's on that show Friday night.
Crystal is on Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Animal Planet as the Haunted. But you guys go out there, take a look at it, see what they got going on with that. They can't really talk about it. Crystal is out in the chat room right now and can't give any details. But it's on tomorrow night, so if you can't watch it, DVR it, tape it, whatever, and you know, we'll talk about it. And remember, Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, Studio A, also ParanormalRadioNetwork.com/Studio A.
Yeah, and tomorrow night we've got Paranormal Encounters on at 8 o'clock on Studio B.
That's right.
And Behind the Veil with Christopher at 8 p.m. No, that's right. Right. Paranormal Encounters is Studio A. Behind the Veil with Christopher is on Studio B at 8 p.m. And then I guess Chris and Greg are going to rock and roll.
Yeah, we're going to do a radio show tomorrow night. It's supposed to be at 10 o'clock. That's why I got a DVR of The Haunted. For Crystal, so I can watch her and then call her up and make fun of her. And go, oh, you have funny eyes. No, but seriously, I mean, if you guys have any questions or rebuttals or anything like that and you want to discuss it, I'm sure you can send it crystal@nkyps.com or send it to staff at midwestparatalkradio.com. And we will answer your questions or you know, argue our case. And
whatever, yeah.
You know, whatever you want to do. It's cool with me. I'm on the Pink Fuzzies. It's all good.
Oh, and next week on Midwest Paratalk, we've got Marcus Leader.
Nice.
The Toltec Shaman, yes. And that's going to be a really big show. And if anybody else has any questions, send them in, because we'd like to give him some audience questions so he can explain stuff to us.
You know, Marcus Leader is always a great interview.
Mm-hmm. He's just awesome to listen to.
Yeah, you're
yeah, well, he put you into that. His voice is somebody's voice. It like put you in a trance anyway.
Yeah, I think the information is going to be free flowing that night. God, it's hard to say yes. But anyway, Mike, you're really going to enjoy talking to the Marcus. He's cool.
Yes, he is.
Very cool cat.
So. Very cool guy.
But yeah, we're about 20 minutes after the hour. I figure if you guys want, I mean, Mike, I know you have to work in the morning, buddy, if you want to jump off or you want to hang. I figure we'll go to about 11:30.
Oh, I can hang.
Oh, right on. So we'll kick on some music here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network at 11:30 and just let that play all night long. So if you guys got insomnia or whatnot, you can just turn on the radio here at asprn.com/Studio B and listen to all the junk that I'm going to put on for you. But yeah, back to the topic.
Okay.
Yeah, we yeah.
Huh?
We what? Huh?
What?
What'd you say?
What topic are we talking about now?
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you, Chris. All right,
I don't
know.
Johnny.
Yeah, we'll see. What else can we talk about? Let's talk about...
GHI was on last night.
Okay, what else can we talk about? You know, I mean, not that I am really opposed to GHI. I mean, those guys are kick-ass. I like Barry. Barry's a cool cat. And Rob. He's pretty cool. I'd like to get him on the show sometime, you know?
Who, Rob? Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Chen, he's on there.
I want to get Joe on the show.
They did a really cool investigation last night. They did. They were in Australia at the, what do they call that? When you come to the country and they won't let you in because you're sick and they put you, what was that called?
I don't know.
It's an infirmary, but it had like a, it was like for diseased people.
Okay.
Where they could have isolation.
Yeah,
but anyway, it was kind of gross because they had, you had to take a shower when you got there. They made you take a shower. And it had, I know it had water and something else, but it had carbolic acid in it. So about a week after you took the shower, or your skin fell off.
Oh, nice.
To sanitize these people. I know. Isn't that
holy
disgusting?
Cow.
So they got some pretty good data from there.
I bet they did.
They did.
But yeah, you know, dude, I'd love to give me some Joe Chen on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like all those guys. They know how to run investigations. They're really
good. Who are the girls they got running with them now?
There's an Ashley, maybe? There's two of them.
Yeah.
I can't think of their names.
Hmm.
Now, is Donna back with Grant?
I don't know. I think she is.
Really?
I saw him tonight, and it's a 2010, and she was in it.
Really? I'm
gonna have they were on tonight?
Hulu that, yeah.
Yeah.
When,
I'll check that out. Hulu. I got On Demand, Comcast. I have to check that out. Yeah, I was. That's kind of the way I took it, because I saw something about a couple of days ago, and I'm like, what? I thought they were feuding, so I don't know.
Well, I knew that they were on the outs, and I knew that she had decided to step back away from the paranormal for a while. And
right.
Then all of a sudden, well, that is interesting. I'll have to check it out on Hulu tomorrow.
Yeah, because I think she's back.
Huh. Well, it's I slept really, yeah, Brandy Green. Thank you, Crystal. Brandy, they're good. I might get
more.
I slept last night, and I slept today, and now I don't want to sleep again.
Oh, I know, right? I'm like wide awake, and I'm out of work tomorrow and whatnot. Work from home,
yeah,
that is.
Cool.
Oh, I have to work tomorrow, so.
Well, at least it's Friday.
Well, yeah, but...
You guys are going out Saturday, aren't you?
Yeah. Well,
did you have plans for Saturday?
Halfway to Jamboree.
Is that where
party.
You're going? Oh, my God.
Of course.
Where?
I can't even friggin' believe it. You guys never quit.
No,
yeah, it's down at, well, what used to be, what that used to be when I went down there. It was not called Seasons or whatever the hell it's called.
It's called Go to the Get High Place when Joni went there?
No, it was like the coolest bar ever, and that's where Wild, you know Wild Cherry? That's where Wild Cherry started. I knew those guys. Play that funky music. I used to run around those guys.
Play that funky music, right, boy.
Yeah,
Ron, I think Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
That's where B.E. Taylor got his start, too.
Who?
B.E. Taylor.
Oh, I love B.E. Taylor.
Yeah,
he's so awesome.
You know,
we
ought to set up a Mackey's investigation with Crystal.
A what?
A Mackey's investigation.
Boy.
I'm sorry, I was sitting away from the mic. Mackey's investigation, going to Mackey's.
Bobby Mackey.
Yeah, I think we ought to do that. Either that or figure out something where we can get all, like, you know what would be really cool is just try to set up an investigation for, like, all the Midwest ASPRN show hosts to come to.
That'd be awesome.
That would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Maybe we need to start cohorting on that. I know February 20th at the Crump Theater, there's a meet and greet that will be going on. There's going to be a bunch of people there, and I know M. Ripa's got a booth set up there. I'm thinking possibly I might try to try the live broadcast again and get it squared away.
Yeah, let's hope that goes over a little better this time with whoever's around.
I tell you what, that was all spirit related right there.
I think they're like, hey, come talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody we like's been here for a long time. Come talk to us.
it was. I mean, I came home and I plugged everything in and everything worked. You know, well, I had to download.
We had the chat room. We just didn't couldn't get on the air.
Right. I had to re-download the audio codec for the mixer board.
Yeah.
It was freaky.
Was odd.
And, you know, I've had
well, really, for out there,
moved,
I guess it
and,
wasn't.
Right, right. But, you know, I was thinking about it. But anyway, that's February
20th. I'd like to find a place that 100,000 million people have not already been into.
I know, right?
And that's the hard part.
Yeah, that is the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be something in between here in Ohio or here in Kentucky or here in Illinois. I mean, there's got to be something that we can do. I'm still trying to work out.
I can ask that guy that runs Forgotten Ohio. He would know, or maybe Beth.
Mm-hmm.
She might know.
She's
from Columbus in that area. Maybe there's some around there. I know there's stuff there. I know there is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of abandoned buildings up there.
I'm still working on
Valeska, I know.
Murder House.
Wouldn't it be too cool if we could get into the downtown Columbus to where they used to have the science place?
Oh, yes.
Bill Nye the Science Guy?
No, it was awesome. What's it called? They had the place down there that they went to the schools, too, and it's science experimentation and stuff for kids. And they had a place downtown. Cosi. Yeah, it's a big thing in Ohio. And they had a building downtown. There's a lot of abandoned big buildings in downtown Columbus, like department stores.
It's in the short north. Yeah,
right, and office buildings. Because downtown Columbus anymore is, like, vacant.
I would love to get into John's old house.
Oh, man, that'd be wild.
Hmm.
That's such a small house, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm still trying to work out in March going out to the Bolesca Axe Murder.
Are you going?
Yeah, I'm thinking that we are.
Okay.
It's good.
I hate you.
No, you don't. You can come.
Yes, I do. I hate you. I can't come clear to Iowa.
I'll drive. Of course, we're going to Colorado right after that.
Well, see.
And there's a couple places over in Colorado.
Yeah, hey, Homer, I'm leaving the kids here. I'll be back probably 2 weeks.
Well, we're going to take a week vacation, and we're going to drive out there to Alaska, and it's only a 9.5-hour drive from where we're at. And then swing over to Colorado and see the wife's aunt and uncle. And then I'm thinking maybe...
Yeah, you got a vacation to do.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe possibly trying to swing down to Utah and seeing Serenity.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, man. I want to get out to Valeska. I mean, that there's something, and you know, there's something definitely, well, I got to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd love to go too, seriously. But, I don't know, I'm going to ask them up around the Columbus area and see if there's anything like centrally located that might be not so used up, I guess, in a way.
I want to put out here Mackie's March 30th. Crystal, do I need to put this out in the chat room? Is that why you're putting it out here, or are you just putting it out
there
for me?
She's got it in the chat room. March 30th, 55 a person. Mackey's limited to 20 people.
We're going in June. I can't wait till Valeska, Axmer House, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I also want Serenity. Serenity and Kimmy J are trying to talk me into going down to New Orleans in October for the Vampire Ball.
Awesome.
Can you imagine doing
my God.
Can you imagine doing a freaking show from the Vampire Ball?
No.
Oh,
I don't
my
think
God,
could
that would be so cool.
The people, I just don't think you could do a show from there.
Yeah. It'd be too wild.
I bet I could. I bet you it's not as wild as what we're thinking, though.
New Orleans is wild, period.
Well, I mean, I could get up. Yeah, there's probably some freaky shit going on in there.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean,
right
it would still
street, yes,
it would still be freaking cool to be able to do like a live broadcast from the Vampire Ball.
Oh my God! Okay, Greg, we could try it. I mean, you know.
I don't know why not. Kimmy J and Serenity are going.
Wow.
I think March 30th we might have to go down and see Crystal at Mackey's. I think, you know what, Crystal, is that something that they're doing for everybody? Or did you say that was for you all, Greg? So you're saying, Crystal can say saying that she can get us in there for that price. So 20 people, is that where we're kind of going? You know, Crystal, call in for crying out loud. I'm tired of talking to your ass in chat. You know what I'm saying? Seriously, if you don't call me, I'm calling you. So, yeah, I mean, if we can do, see if we can't, like, coordinate something where we can get everybody to come. We can go down there to Mackey's and do that.
Mm-hmm. It's not like on the weekends, though, or what?
Yeah, that's a weekend.
It's weekends.
March 3rd. I don't know. Let's look at the date. Hold on.
March, you said March?
March 30th.
Okay, because I'm going to Vegas in April. So.
Oh, you put the Vegas thing.
March 30th is a Tuesday. Crystal, seriously, on a Tuesday?
Now, see, that possibly a Tuesday would be better for me because of my schedule.
No, stop telling everyone she's saying. There ain't but five people up in this chat listening, man. There's only four live viewers.
March
30th,
yes, is a Tuesday. And, yes, I could probably go for that one because my husband's off.
Seriously.
I can't, so I'm going to work. But you guys can go and have fun. Let me know how it is.
No, it's Wednesday. Well, the 30th isn't Wednesday, Crystal.
Now it's weekday. Well, they're doing it all the time, and we could go anytime, couldn't we?
We could. I mean, maybe we need to set up something special down there, Crystal. You and I need to talk. We'll hook up tomorrow. Give me a call on Skype. Because I'll be logged on after about 8:30, 9 o'clock when I roll my ass out of bed. What? I just said ass.
I'll have a half a day working.
We have just cussed like crazy.
It's late.
And you
I don't
know what?
Care.
We.
Me.
We.
Me.
I don't think it's
I have
there.
Cussed like crazy.
I got a mouse in my pocket.
Got a mouse in my pocket.
I'm going to say.
What the heck is this? We're currently playing. Oh, I just got an email from Miami Town Mike. Hey, Miami Town Mike out in the chat room. I got your email, just so you know. It came through my BlackBerry before. You know, I don't have my mail up because it went to my mail, and it goes ding, and then everybody's like, what the hell is that?
Oh, my God. Where is Dee?
She's in bed.
Deanna! No. What is that? Oh, what is that? Greg, what is it? Stella!
Stella! I could have been a contender. Nah, I don't know. Probably two different movies.
And that is his Marlon Brando
impression.
The pink fuzzy Marlon Brando. Of course, Marlon Brando was no stranger to pink fuzzies. Okay?
No,
he probably would.
Right.
Oh, my God.
That's funny. So now that we rambled a little bit, about 12 or 11:34 here in the morning. I keep wanting to say in the morning.
Say right. Whatever you want, because Conan said, we won't get into Conan. Poor Conan, I'll tell you.
Do you know what? He actually put up a fight and was like, nah, bullshit, I'm not
He's
moving.
Leaving. I don't blame him. Good for him.
I don't blame him either.
Mars Bus Show.
Bunch of crap.
Yeah, it is. Jay Leno's not that funny. I think Conan
O'Brien. He never
O'Brien,
was. I could never stand him.
I think Conan O'Brien is five times funnier than Jay Leno. But
did you see Jimmy Kimmel on the Jay Leno show?
I heard about that.
Oh, my Lord. It was the funniest thing. I watched it.
It's probably on YouTube. I need to look. Yeah, I heard that was pretty. I heard that was pretty bad.
Hysterical.
Jimmy Kimmel, he's nuts. Oh, my God.
He's like, right. Jay, that's that 10 at 10. He's like, what's the worst thing you've ever done to someone? He goes, well, about 4 years ago, I told someone they could have my show, and then they ruined it, and I decided to take it back.
Right.
Funny. Oh, it's funny.
Oh, what a world.
Yeah, Leno sucks. I don't like him at all. But anyway, you guys, listen, we're about 11:35, and I'm sure Mike's ready to go to bed, and I'm ready to not go to bed for some reason.
He's going to be on Hulu.
I am, actually. There's a new show out, like Target or something like that, where the guy is like a security specialist.
Store?
Huh?
No, it's a good show.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, it's a good show. I've watched it.
Human Target.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty kick-ass, so.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm going to check it out. Crystal, give me a call tomorrow on Skype, and we'll talk about trying to set something up. I think we need to coordinate and get some of these show hosts together, and let's do an investigation. Mike and Joni, you guys rocked it. Jeff was a good guest tonight, and thank you guys for listening to me jump on a soapbox and slur all my words.
Yeah, you big old druggie.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, well. What are you going to do when the pink fuzzies are all over you?
Yeah, that's what we've had all night. Just drunks and druggies, I swear to God.
I know, right? Starting at 8 o'clock.
Starting at 8 o'clock.
That's right. Well, I want to thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight for the Thursday Powerhouse lineup for Paranormal Talk Radio. Keep in mind, we got some music probably coming your way in just a little bit. I don't know if Mr. Chris Kenna wants to play some more music tonight for a couple hours. In Studio B, if he does, hit me up, let me know. If not, I'm going to kick off the auto player and just start running music. So that being said, thank you guys for coming to Midwest Prayer Talk Radio tonight, and check back with us next Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Bewitching Hour, followed by Supernatural Rising and Midwest Prayer Talk Radio. And that being said, night, everybody.
Night.
Bye. You've been listening to Midwest Parrot Talk Radio, brought to you by Midwest Parrot Talk Productions here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And don't forget to check out all the great shows here on the ASPRN Network, like Crossroads Paranormal Radio, Ghostly Talk, Etherland Live, IGH Radio, Nightwatch.